You're listening to Creative Thursday, episode number 186. Welcome to Creative Thursday with Marisa Ann Cummings. I'm an artist and creative business mentor in Los Angeles, California, talking all things life, creativity, and business intended to inspire and empower you wherever you are on your creative journey, both personally and professionally. Thank you for listening. Hi, hello, it's Marisa here, and guess what? I knew that this was coming, but I missed it. It's just the way that the podcasts are numbered, episodes are numbered. This is technically my 101st episode coming back since December of 2017, right? Was it 2017. Oh, I don't know. Let me just check. I was correct. It gets confusing because it really started in 2018 because it was just a mere weeks. So when I say 2017, that already feels so long ago, but the date was in December of 2017. So technically the podcast has been back for 2 years, and it also makes sense, right? There's 52 weeks in a year. So it makes sense that we are coming around the bend on that number. It's a huge, I have done 186 episodes in total, which is something I'm obviously also just really proud of. I'm really proud of the fact that I came back and I have stuck with it so consistently. It has taken a lot of intention and commitment to be here. And simultaneously, you know how much I love this opportunity to share with you. And today we are going to talk about part 3 of my fertility story. I just want to give you that heads up now. But just to finish the thought on podcasting for 100 new episodes, I'm just really excited by that number, just really excited. And I wanted to take a quick moment to honor it and say thank you so much for listening. I truly appreciate you. And thanks for cheering me on, as always, in your notes or sharing the podcast on Instagram, letting me know, especially with these fertility episodes, that it's making a difference. And thank you for letting me know that you appreciate that I am having the bravery to share the story. It really means a lot. And so keep them coming, keep the notes coming. I can't thank you enough. Today, I will tell you, so I may need to change it up. I hope it will be okay. I have the window open. It's a beautiful, warm day in Los Angeles, and I don't have the heart to remove Anderson Cooper from the window. He's nestled in there. So right now, especially if you're new to me, you're like, why do you have the CNN journalist in your window? I don't. If you're new to me, Anderson Cooper is our cat who really does resemble Anderson Cooper, the journalist. It happens. When we were naming him, it was a certain political time of year several years ago, and we were tracking it all and we were watching some CNN, and I just thought, we have to name this cat Anderson Cooper, which I also happen to really like Anderson Cooper when I hear him on interviews, and he just seems like a good hearted person. The documentary with he and his mom, I can't think of the name offhand, was so good. And by the way, on a quick side note for my artists, he was talking recently about how in the last year of his life, with his mom being I think she was 90 or in her 90s. He got her on Instagram and she was selling her work and dealing with the collectors directly and how much she loved that. And I've been meaning to share that story. I will share it with you in the Expansive Artist, my Expansive Artist, just as inspiration, because we forget how lucky we are that we can be in contact with our collectors directly. I think she was always selling maybe through galleries and, you know, her name was Gloria Vanderbilt was her name. Oh, and the documentary is called Nothing Left Unsaid, Gloria Vanderbilt and Anderson Cooper. Such an interesting life, such a beautiful, I mean, there's tragedy and creative successes and financial gain and financial loss and just coming from such a lineage of the Vanderbilt. There's so much history there, the Vanderbilt name. Anyway, I'm going on a bit of a tangent because I want to clarify. If you hear background noise, I want to try recording this with the window open, partly because in Los Angeles, it's been kind of nice. There hasn't been as much traffic. You could hear the birds, and by traffic, I mean even people going through our neighborhood. Sometimes people use our street as a side street, and sometimes people also, they act like they are in the Fast and the Furious, if you've seen those movies, what are there, 7 of them, and they like to take their high-powered muscle cars and drive really fast. Sometimes in the middle of the night, they even like to do donuts, and so I actually, someone just went by, I'm going to test that. It wasn't too bad, but I might have to move Anderson Cooper. It was on cue. Someone drove by fast, right when I said Fast and the Furious. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to close the window. All right, silence. Anderson Cooper, I'm sorry about that, buddy. We've got the air conditioning on. I'm going to leave all that in there because I like for these episodes to be a slice of life. I know I personally really enjoy that, and it helps me feel connected to the people I listen to or tune into their live videos. And I will say that what has been nice about this time, this unique time that we are going through, is, oh, well, now someone's chewing a bag. Now they have to be extricated. And by they, I mean I just had to take Anderson Cooper out. So there you go. This isn't intended to spend a lot of time on nonsensical things at the opening of this podcast, but I started to say the reason I'm leaving it in is because I love how the fact that so many people are working from home or maybe Zooming for the first time or maybe homeschooling their children, that people are just more relaxed about all of this. The fact that late night show hosts are doing their programs from home and their kids are reading monologues and making graphics for them or sitting and playing games during their monologue. I personally love it. I really do. And I'm glad that people are feeling a little bit more relaxed. And the reason I share this to make a quick teaching point before we dive into part 3 of the fertility story is if any part of you shares the perfectionism quality and you are afraid to start your podcast or jump on a live video or maybe even put yourself on Instagram stories, I just really encourage you to not even worry about it. And there's no time like the present to do these things. And truthfully, if people are bothered by who you really are in your life, then it's probably best that they figure that out soon enough so they can find someone who resonates with them and vice versa. So here we go. I think some of that is also just, I have to gear up in podcast mode to talk to you about part 3, because it starts to get a little bit closer to home for me and what I'm still currently experiencing and have experienced for a while. The other chapters are more past tense, and this is starting to bring it into present tense. And today I really had to ask myself the question, like I have on all these episodes, do I feel like I'm in the best place to share? And for a moment, I wasn't. Maymay. We got a lot of rustling. Maymay is in the file basket. If you're new to me, we have Pepita, the Chihuahua mix, Anderson Cooper, the all-white cat that really with amazing blue eyes that resembles Anderson Cooper, the journalist, and Maymay, who is his sister, who is also beautiful in her very different way. And they are all rescues that found us, and they are the most amazing creatures. I love them dearly. I love these guys so much. So there's just a quick introduction, but Maymay, I forgot she was here. I turned the air conditioning on and now she's been disrupted in her file basket, which is where she likes to take naps in the file basket in the studio. Okay. I've got all my support in place, except Anderson Cooper had to leave because he wanted to chew on the bag. Let's continue on with part three of the fertility story, meaning that it's bringing me a little bit closer. And I was starting to say to you, I did the check-in and I wasn't feeling 100%. And I thought, I'm still going to record today's episode because I want to let you in a little bit on the realities. Since I am recording this in real time and still going through this experience on some level, I want to let you in on some of those realities. Like today, perhaps, I texted with a good friend. I know her journey very well, and it was wonderful news, and she's 5 months pregnant. And I genuinely, truly, I'm so happy for her and so excited because it has been a really intense journey for her. And we've talked a lot about it. And she's also one of the inspirations behind this podcast because she said, you know, you're one of the few people I've been able to talk to this about having gone through miscarriage. And she said, it would help so many people if you share. I've been telling her for months that I had planned on sharing this story. And so she's someone, she also helped me through a time just a few months ago that I'll tell you more about in a future episode. She's someone that I, above and beyond at this moment, feel so much joy for. And simultaneously, it can also have that effect of it's one more person, but it's not me. And this person had challenges as well, but they have resolved themselves. And so why can't my challenges resolve themselves? And it can start a really big cycle of what I call spinning in the wrong direction. Rather than saying, this person had similar issues as me and she made it through. And then I can start to say, but she's younger than me. And then I can start to spin in another direction. And it can all get sour really quick. And those kinds of moments can really have an impact on my day and my worldview. And it's through practice and years of going through this, because pretty much everyone I know that's had any challenges has gone on to have their child or have their family. So that's pretty much everyone. And I've felt left on the sidelines. Like I keep feeling like I haven't been picked for the team. And I guess in some ways, I don't want to say gotten used to that because that's not the place that I want to stay, but I have become acclimated to handling it and knowing when my brain starts to cycle. And one of the things I do is also reach out to a friend. And many times I end up talking about business because it gives me so much joy and I know how to shift my energy. So I spoke with a friend. I'm so thankful. And I feel much better. So I actually feel much better now than I did when I first thought of recording the podcast, which is also to give you a little insight into, you know, whether it's fertility or anything, you can shift your feelings rather quickly when you decide to. And that is a skill set that takes practice, but I have an intention of doing that, and I notice it goes a lot faster for me than it used to. And again, this applies to everything in life. So, you know, the reason, as a quick reminder of why I'm sharing this story while it's still very close to my heart, is I just want to demonstrate and talk through this with you, those moments in life that feel very challenging, and remind you that you can change the story. You can have a different perspective. You know, some people say on the energy mindset front, when you have someone close in your life who is experiencing what you want, that it's right there, that it's very close to you. And you can either separate yourself out and say, that's not for me. Oh, woe is me. I haven't gotten that. I don't have my relationship. I don't have my kind of business success. I don't have my family. I'm not going on that trip, whatever that is for you. Or you can say, oh, it's right there. I must be really close to it. So I know that's a hard one to get behind sometimes, believe me, but it's, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? I gotta keep the Olympic fertility hope flame alive. So I do. I don't know how all that's going to shake out for me, but we shall see. And in the meantime, let me bring you back to this part of the story where I went back on the pill. That's where I left off. Sean and I started dating. We moved in together pretty quick, and we were just building a life together. And I also was building this business, Creative Thursday. And so I had very rational, very smart, probably reasons for, you know, now is not the time for me to start a family. I'm starting a business, and I'm also with a new partner. And I was really honest with Sean, and I said, you know, I don't know what this is. I'm coming out of a long relationship and moving into another one. I know that's not really the quote unquote advised thing to do. You could just be a rebound. And we sort of laughed, and I wasn't going to walk away from something really special because it's somewhere in some book, someone probably tells you not to do that. And yeah, 17 years later, Sean's a pretty long rebound. So going back 17 years ago, I think that's where we are now. Oh my goodness. Time is flying. Even during a quarantine, it's still going fast. I don't know if you're experiencing the same thing, but we just got together, and that felt like the right decision to me for sure, because there was a part of me that thought, well, do I want to be a parent? And, you know, that's a great luxury when you think you can be a parent and you get to kind of flip-flop back and forth. It doesn't become the best dialogue when you feel like, oh my goodness, I'm out of time to make that decision. And so I was a little cavalier with it, knowing what I know now. And I also know that for my perspective, my headspace, I was trying to do the right responsible thing. And that's exactly what happened. And that's how it was meant to be. And so my baby at the time was Creative Thursday, and I put all of my energy into Creative Thursday. And I was open with Sean with my experience and said, you know, I've got to be honest with you, if we're going to date on a more serious level. He hadn't had any children. I said, I don't know, you know, this is what I've experienced, and I don't know what the story is. We haven't discovered anything, but it may or may not happen for me. And he said, that's okay. I can go either way. So we had an open conversation about it, and we forged on in our relationship path. And we just really were enjoying the early part of our dating. And it was also super stressful for me because my business wasn't making any money for a while, and I went into a lot of debt. And it was an incredible, amazing, and also highly stressful time. So it felt, again, like it was not a time to be doing anything other than trying to figure out what I had gotten myself into on the financial and business side of things. But I had a little time. I think I was 33. Wait, this all isn't quite adding up. Was I 30? I was in my early 30s. And so I guess it is adding up. Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah. I think I was about 32. So I had a little time in my mind And then as I started to round the bend to 35, I was saying, okay, I would like to move forward now. My business was getting traction. It was starting to make money, thank goodness. And I would like to revisit having a family. It's just not going away. It's a desire I want. And Sean was open to that. So we, as they say, pulled the goalie and, you know, I stopped going on the pill. And we were, you know, not actively, quote unquote, trying, but, you know, nothing happened. And in this time, well, I'm not sure if I'm ready to share that part of the story yet, but nothing happened. We kept having unprotected sex. And so I reached a point where I talked to my OB, who had been my OB since I moved to Los Angeles. And she said, yeah, well, why don't we do some preliminary testing, which is also, I'm pausing because I'm thinking, well, maybe I do want to tell this part of the story. I will. I'll just tell it because it's an important piece to the puzzle and it kind of relates to what I said at the beginning of this. But I got a note somewhere during this time that my ex-husband was expecting his first child. And I remember that it really hit me like a ton of bricks, like more than I would have expected, because I was really at peace with the decision for us to end our relationship. And, you know, there were some conversations there that left us having kids kind of open-ended, and there were some dishonest conversations there in hindsight. And so it was a little sore to find this out. And it was sent to me through an email. And that was, I guess, you know, you're doing the best you can. It's nice that I was told and I didn't have to hear it from somewhere else, but it felt really painful to me. But it also answered the question that it was definitely not my ex-husband, but most definitely probably me that had something going on. And so I think started to get concerned on a different level, and I went to the OB and she said, let's run some preliminary tests. So remember the fertility starter pack? Well, we started over with the fertility starter pack because that's what happens. If you take breaks in testing, you start over because you're at a different stage of life. Your hormones may be different. Your health may be different. And, you know, everything came back pretty normal, but this time, and I specifically asked Sean if I could share this, and he said, yes, it's absolutely fine. And the reason I say this is because this can be, I think, I haven't actually talked to men about this, but I imagine it can feel like it sort of, not attacks, I can't think of the right word, kind of comes at their manhood. But, you know, when men get tested, it's the sperm in a cup and they put it under a microscope and they check it out and there's like a sperm count. And the sample that he gave wasn't quite what they wanted. And I remember it wasn't ideal, but things were going on. The sperm were moving. All was fine, but maybe it wasn't a high enough count. And the reason I want to share this with you, and the reason Sean said it was okay, is that he's fine with it. It did not impact his manhood. And this is such an important piece of the puzzle. Okay. There are two that always make a baby. There's a sperm and there's an egg, and it only takes one of each. And we never know exactly what that combustion is. But when I heard that news, I was already sensitive and I felt like this overwhelming devastation. Like my dreams of having a natural pregnancy were over. And I just took it so hard. I remember very specifically, we were visiting a friend. It was the holiday time. And I was near devastation. I was furious. Like it just pushed every button for me, my poor friend. I remember she had to see me through that. Poor Sean, he was just like, what? What's going on? And I blew it out of proportion. And that's also really unfair because I think the way it was delivered to me was also not clear. if that happens with your man, let's talk about this for a moment. First of all, it doesn't mean you're not going to have children. Second of all, it depends on a man delivers a different sample depending on where he is at the time of ejaculation, meaning there's so many factors to what kind of sample you deliver. I mean, there's a reason that they ask men not to ejaculate, I think it's like 5 days before. There's so many factors that go into just the sample that is delivered, you know, how long was it sitting there, all kinds of nuances. So first of all, remember that, okay? Just remember that. Second of all, it just takes one sperm. So while fertility treatments may not be on your radar, the sperm count means next to nothing if they can get a sperm and fertilize your egg through fertility treatments. And then thankfully, when you do open up to people who've been through this, I had a really close friend at the time who had gotten pregnant on her own after failed fertility treatments. And I remember her saying, oh, my husband's sperm count was barely anything. So you've got to have those conversations with people you trust. And they went on to have two healthy babies, because you can just feel sideswiped, because a lot of times, and I'm not trying to blame the fertility caretakers of the world, but sometimes they have absolutely no bedside manner. And it was delivered to me like, well, the count is not what it should be. It was delivered to me like that. You know how that can make all the difference? I can cite a lot of times, and I'm going to highlight them in the story because it's got to be your responsibility. That's why I want to tell you. So imagine I'm your best friend, I'm your bestie in your pocket when you're going on these trips, and I'm going to be like, it's okay, it's okay. I want you to know it's okay. Because if you hang on to how someone delivers the news and you start ingesting it into your life that way, it can feel devastating for something that doesn't need to be devastating. Because all you have to do is go and listen to someone else's story, like my friend, to realize it didn't matter. It didn't matter. There are so many other factors to fertility that don't let that cause panic, and don't let that begin to chip away at your relationship or undermine your connection. I mean, this is where it can start to feel like it's chipping away at what you are both bringing to the table. And there can be shame and there can be guilt. And we've since moved way beyond that time. But I just remember that it felt like I made it this far and now I have this going on too. And is this ever going to happen for me? And what am I going to do with this information? And it just felt heart-wrenching to me, not because of Sean at all, just because this felt like a challenge, and because the way it was delivered to me, it felt really scary, because it meant it was time for me to go to a fertility doctor. And you know, I was avoiding that for quite a while. You know this if you've listened to part one and part two. And I am trying to think, what we did, I remember now. We took the news of the starter pack, and my OB's ex-husband happened to be a fertility doctor. And so we went to the next step of the testing. And this is so important. Okay. Listen in. Gosh, if I could go back in time, this might have been one of the things that would have made a difference at that time. Now there's a starter fertility tests, and then there's a starter pack at a fertility clinic, which is very different. Now we're at a next level of invasiveness and expense, depending upon, most people's insurance doesn't cover it, but it starts to get expensive pretty quick. So let me tell you, usually a fertility clinic will do initial blood work. Your man will deliver a sample, and you will also have an ultrasound. And at this clinic, I had the choice of the ultrasound. And I thought, let me just do the blood work. And that's what we did. And part of the reason, remember I said I was really having a hard time financially and just kind of getting on my feet. I definitely don't like to spend anything unnecessarily. And he said, you know, we can check, but it's probably fine. I was 35 at the time, I remember specifically, because I said, should I start panicking? And he said, no, it's okay. And I really appreciated that from him, even where I stand now, because it was so nice and so calming. And he said, you know, you can always do the ultrasound when you're ready. We don't have to do it now. And I said, okay, I opt out, because I think it was $200 at the time. And that just felt like a lot for me. I mean, it still does, but now going back in time, I would say, do that ultrasound. And the reason why I'm going to take you to this, am I going to take you to this part of the story? Well, I discovered something in a future ultrasound that we initially thought was the entire reason I wasn't getting pregnant. And if I had discovered it then, it would have been good to know. So most clinics, I think for this reason, are ready. Just wrap that right in to your quote unquote starter pack treatment or your starter pack at the fertility clinic. So when they offer to do that, take it, accept it. That's my big bit of guidance. Like I said, most of them will include it. It'll be a flat fee for everything. And I was, in hindsight, I was surprised they didn't just include it as a flat fee and make it a necessity, because you kind of do need to see what's going on inside to really make a full assessment. So we left and continued on. We continued on, and I decided to pursue acupuncture and diet, which, oh my goodness, I almost forgot this entire part to my story. So we're going to tell you this part, which led me to acupuncture, and then we're probably going to take another pause from there. In the middle of all of my stress, so for those few years of building a business, when it started to kick in financially, I had so much stress that it kind of tipped a sensitive area in my body, which is my bladder. I had gotten bladder infections in the past, and I was one of those people that would just automatically, as many do, be given antibiotics and take them because that's the option you think you have. And if you've had a bladder infection, it's bad. I mean, it's really, really uncomfortable, and it can intensify very quickly, and it's not something you want to mess with or let linger, not only for the discomfort, but for your health. It can become a strong infection. But I was trying to do things naturally, like cranberry juice and different soups and different things. And it just kept coming up, and it felt like it wasn't really going away. Antibiotics would solve it, but then it would come back. And I went to a urologist, and I remember them very specifically saying, we have a solution. What you have is something called interstitial cystitis, which is basically, it's like irritable bladder syndrome. A lot of people have irritable bowel syndrome, and mine was the bladder. So it feels like you have to pee frequently. It has that irritation, like you're getting a bladder infection, and it sort of doesn't really subside. It can be very debilitating, and mine would kind of go in and out. And I remember the urologist, also not great bedside manner, saying to me, well, we have a medication and it may or may not work, and there's hair loss and all these other side effects. And I thought to myself, there's got to be a better solution. I just cannot believe that this is the only solution. And also, I don't feel like losing my hair right now. And so I felt it was worth exploring. So I started doing all this research on the internet. And this was a similar situation where my OB said, it's time for you to see a urologist. And So I, in the midst of trying, before we went to that next level of fertility testing, this happened. I can't believe that I forgot this part of the story. So we weren't really diving into fertility clinic yet. We were dealing with Marisa has a pretty painful health issue going on, and she needs to solve this because nothing's happening. Also, you don't really feel like having sex when you're going through this either. Obviously, it can be very irritating and make things worse. So it just wasn't good timing and it needed to be resolved. So I started, as I said, after going to the urologist, I started exploring the internet and I came across a woman in Los Angeles. And if I have not worked with her or know what's happening lately, but if I mention any treatment or anything that sounds appealing to you, I am not going to be sharing all of the doctor's names or people I'm working with right now or have worked with in the past. Like I said, if I share anyone, I want everything to be up to date for you. But if you're going through this or know anyone who has gone through this, I will be happy to make referrals or give you any names or recommendations that I can. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me because this woman basically saved my life on some sense and introduced me to the power of acupuncture and diet. And by diet, I don't like the word diet. It conjures not eating, but being mindful about your nutrition, how food impacts your body and your entire gut health. It was the first time I heard about gut health, probiotics, and the problem when you're taking antibiotics to solve a lot of bladder infections or anything. I realized growing up as a child, I would get a lot of sore throats and constantly given antibiotics because we thought it could it be strep throat. And then looking back, we didn't know any better. I probably was starting to destroy the natural flora fauna in my intestine. And that probably tipped to getting bladder infections easier. And it just becomes this compounding experience. But let's be honest, I also fully subscribe to the mind-body connection, and the stress I had building this business was enough to tip my immunity. And it just all was a perfect storm at that time. But I can also say, looking back, it was a great gift because of what I learned. And I did the Chinese herbal teas, and I did a massive restart on my body, and it was a very powerful and good experience. It truly was, truly. And I'm very thankful for that. And when I was working with her, I remember now, she said, look, I told her, you know, I was wanting to get pregnant, and she said, I think it's best that you heal this before you get pregnant because it can escalate all of these symptoms. And so I thought, okay, that's fine. I still felt like I had time, but I wasn't avoiding it. I just wasn't really focusing on trying and just allowing everything to take its course, because the pill, I believe, can also have an impact on this. And it was not something that was recommended that I be on that while also doing the work I was doing with her. So I just let it unfold. And that was the precursor to, once I started feeling better and legitimately trying and things weren't coming together, that's when I went back and did the fertility starter pack. And that's when we went to the fertility doctor, the first one. And that's where I will leave off on the story. And yes, in my mind, I'm like, I hope that it doesn't feel strange to break in these parts of this story. I'm not intentionally trying to make this a cliffhanger for you. I am, though, protecting my own energy of how much I can talk about around this. And I also gave you a lot to think about in this episode. To recap, sperm count. And if you know anyone on a completely different health side going through interstitial cystitis, please don't hesitate to reach out if I can be of any support or at least offer you a recommendation. Just know that if you want to look at alternative approaches to your health and your intuition is guiding you to do so, follow that intuition, because learning what I did working with this practitioner, it was life-changing for me. And if I had just taken a pill from the urologist and started to lose my hair and then maybe impact my body more in maybe not the best way, then who knows where that would have led. And you know I say this, but I'm going to say it in every one of these episodes, because I don't know if you're new to me, if someone said, hey, Marisa is sharing a fertility story. I know a lot of you tune in to me for the art and business side of my story. I have to emphasize and remind you that if you were in my shoes and you felt like, yes, this pill is the answer for me, you've got to do that. There's a very important piece to this, and I am not going to be shy about saying it. You have to align with what works for you. There is no straight path to any solution, not for growing your art business and definitely not when it comes to your health. And that's why I say points like I said, if given the option, go for the ultrasound in your very first fertility visit. Just that would be my suggestion. If you aren't ready for that though, don't do it. It's okay. I just want you to have all the information and you decide. I'm going to remind you, I think I said 100 times, 1,000,000 times. This isn't me offering advice. This is me sharing a story and telling you, this is where I wish I had maybe made a different choice. This is where I'm really glad I made this choice. This is where, in hindsight, I also say it all worked out. I don't have any regrets about anything because I know that it's led me here. And that's just how I choose to have a view of my life. It doesn't mean that sometimes I'm not sad about things or upset or devastated or, but I know that the experience is going to serve me somehow. And if you're benefiting from this now, the truth is that's part of the reason. Then it makes a lot of this worth it. I wouldn't be here telling you this story if it had all worked out a different way. So I've got to look at the bigger picture, and I just remind you that it's all been fine. There isn't a right or a wrong. And the one of the worst things you can do to yourself is be second guessing all of that, to be judging yourself for choices you're making and or having quote unquote regrets, because you don't know how the story ends. And everything, it's like breadcrumbs. It's like, for my ET fans who maybe grew up watching that movie like I did, remember when Elliot puts out the Reese's Pieces? I can tear up just thinking about some of those scenes for ET to find him, and just one at a time. That's what life is like sometimes. It's like we are grabbing a Reese's Pieces to get to where we want to go, but we can't see where we're going yet. But because it's Reese's Pieces, it's got to be good, right? Let's not have the sugar conversation right now, okay? Because I know here we are talking about fertility and health and wellness and nutrition, and you can have a Reese's Pieces. It's okay. And I didn't mean to shout in your ear just now. I saw that the lines went up really high, but I'm leaving it in. I'm leaving it in. This is a real slice of life. It's episode number 101. It's very exciting. And that is part 3 of my fertility story. It's enough for you there. And then I will know where to pick back up. I did realize, so we took a little break last week, went back to business. We will continue to mix it up like this along the way. I realize I know also I could record this in one long fail swoop. Is that what you say? But that doesn't feel right to me either, because I am able to, as I share the story with you, add real time experience happening right now as I go through some things. And I like the freshness of that. I don't want to spend 6 hours or more also recording the entire story. So I'm just going to continue this way, kind of pop in with a continuation, let you know that's what's coming. I encourage you all to listen regardless. If you normally listen to me for creativity and art and business, because it's all intertwined, but I give you the heads up at the beginning just in case. And I'm also breaking it up so that I can be gentle with myself in telling the story and that I don't overload you with too much information in one episode. To be continued. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for being on the journey with me. I am thinking of you. If you or someone you know is going through this, there's a lot of virtual, extra virtual love and hugs coming your way. And as always, I hope you all are well, everyone listening, and you're staying healthy and you're finding some time to be creative and productive in ways that work for you. It's really helped me during this time. I've been accomplishing a lot and it feels very good, I have to say. So whatever way, again, that works for you, I encourage you to find that harmony, whether it be going through fertility, whether it be building your business, whether it be practicing your daily creating. I wish that we could all do things for each other, but we don't really, because we're here for our own journeys and it's the Reese's Pieces. I'll leave you with that image of the Reese's Pieces. Life is like a trail of Reese's Pieces. Has anyone said that yet? Now I really want a Reese's Pieces like nobody's business, and I don't know the last time I had one. I think I'm going to have to track one down. Until next time, friends, thank you so much for listening and take good care. Take good care out there. We'll talk soon. Creative Thursday is recorded and produced by me, Marisa. You can find all things Creative Thursday at creativethursday.com and creativethursdaycourses.com. Be sure to hit subscribe to get the next episode as soon as it drops. And I thank you so much for your kind, positive 5-star reviews. They mean the world to me. They help me to show up every week and record an episode for you. They inspire me, and it also helps episodes like this especially to reach more people. So I thank you very much. Have a beautiful creative week, and thank you for listening.